it's got the bits of the scripture, but it's just incredible how much of today's message was in those songs. Buckets of it. It was fantastic. And, you know, God is good. He is so good. It's wonderful when His presence is here. I was at a concert with 5,500 people yesterday with the best musicians ever. But, do you know, it wasn't as exciting and as dynamic and just as it was this morning. Just, you know, with, what do you reckon, 60 people here? Yeah, but it's just incredible. God is good. God is so, so good. Yeah, wonderful. Wonderful. So, last time we talked about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. And you remember that story. And then again, Jesus was led full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. And that took him into the wilderness. And then we said sometimes God takes us into places a wilderness, and He often uses it for His glory and to sort us out and do things in us. But that's what happened with Jesus. He took Him full of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, into a time of testing. And Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. And who does that remind us of? There's a lots of 40s. Name other 40s in the Bible. Pardon? 40 years in the wilderness for the Israelites. And what happened to the Israelites? If you read the Bible, if you go to Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, those guys went and were tested in the desert for 40 years. And did they do well? No, they didn't do so well. So they grumbled and they mourned and they even wanted to go back into slavery, back into Egypt, rather than eat and have the destiny that God had given them. But Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days, and how well did He do? He won. Yeah, so the gravity of it was that every man from the beginning of time, even to today, has fought Satan and temptation. Yeah, and at some point, Satan has won. He has beat us. Who's never been tempted and failed? We've all fallen short of the, apart from Johnny, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Yeah? We've all fallen short. Every man, David, Moses, Adam ate the apple, all the stuff. Peter, the apostle, Paul had fallen short of the glory of God. All of them. But Jesus was tested, fully God, fully man, and He won. And we said that hell must have shook on that day because Satan, for the first time in eternity, had been defeated. That is massive, isn't it? Isn't it massive? And that's what happened. Yay! Yeah, it's worth a cheer, isn't it? Yeah, fantastic. Yeah? And Satan had lost. Satan lost. So I'm so excited about these next bit of the Bible because Satan had lost, but now Jesus goes on the attack. He goes on the attack. That's exciting. So get ready, because this is what happens. This is awesome. Awesome. Pete was supposed to preach this. I'm so glad he didn't, because I got it. It was wicked. So not wicked, it was really, really good. Yeah. But also, Jesus used Scripture to defeat Satan. If you want to defeat Satan in your life, open up your Bible and read it. It's very, very simple. Yeah. And Jesus deferred His authority to Scripture. So if Jesus defers His authority to Scripture, He was God. Yeah, He could have said, do one, Satan, I'm God. Yeah, but He didn't. He said, it is written. If you do not believe in the Word of God, you're not following Jesus because Jesus did. So if you're under attack from Satan, be asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit and open up your Bible and use it because you can Bible bash Satan just exactly like Jesus did. Yeah, is that good news? Yeah, that is good news. Good news. And Jesus was victorious. Satan lost that encounter. And as I said, he's going to go on the attack. So do you want to put the first bit of the scripture on screen? There's no real order. This is what kind of happened. And I'll just summarise it. You can read it or you can open your Bible. We're on Luke chapter 4, verse 14. So, to summarize, so Jesus, after defeating Satan and a temptation in the wilderness, he goes back to his hometown. He goes back to Nazareth. And again, it says, the scripture said, he is full with the Holy Spirit. Go back to Galilee, he's full with the Holy Spirit and word. So there's probably missing a little bit in Luke, but he goes around probably preaching the gospel, healing the sick, and word gets round that he's doing this stuff. Yeah, word gets round, so people get excited, and word spreads quickly. So when he comes home, so what would you do? If somebody like that did that in Blackburn, we're like, let's get him to preach. Yeah, this guy is doing amazing stuff. So they invited him to the synagogue, and everybody was happy in the synagogue. They all praised him. They said, what this guy is doing is brilliant. And anyway, so he goes to the synagogue, and he opens, they give him some scripture, and he opens it, and this is what he says. They give him, and we've sung it this morning, he opens up the scroll of Isaiah, which was handed to me, unrolled the scroll, and found the place where this was written. Listen to this. This is awesome. This is cool. So he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So he's pointing at Jesus himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and the time of the Lord's favour has come. And he said this, and he rolled up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant. So you imagine doing this. And sat down, and all eyes in the synagogue, which was the church, were on him. And they looked at him intently, and then he began to speak to them, and he said, the scripture you have just heard has been fulfilled this very day. Woo! Yeah! Awesome. Boom. What just happened? Well, this is a declaration of war against Satan and the powers of hell. This is Bible bash Jesus, I mean Satan, and this is a declaration of war against Satan. And since the fall, Satan has had the advantage. He's brought sin into the world. There's been wars. There's been family breakdown. Even in the Old Testament, we're Abraham. There's been messes in families. There's been murder. There's been injustice. There's been disobedience against God's word. Just read it in the Old Testament. It's a mess. There's been idol worship. And nobody has been able to do anything about it ever. People have been oppressed. That's what the world is like. That's what the world is like today. Yeah? And it gets to the end of the Old Testament in Malachi. This is even in God's word. And really the tone of Malachi at the end of the Old Testament is God's just tired of his people. That's metaphorically. But he sent them into Babylon. But they're still sinning. Nothing is any better at the end of the Old Testament. It's a long book, the Old Testament. There's a lot of good stuff that happens, a lot of bad stuff that happens as well. People just keep on sinning. So there's no hope. It's the same now. If you sit and you watch telly, there is no hope. Yeah? Just makes me sad when I watch telly. Whatever I watch. Yeah? It's just sad. The world is a mess. There's no good news. Because it's the same as the Old Testament. There's no good news. Is there? At all. We're reading in growth group Romans, the beginning of Romans, and it's like a history lesson, and it's basically just the debauchery and badness and mess of mankind without God. It's a mess. It's an absolute mess. Satan is having a party. And there's nobody yet that can stop him. But Jesus says, no. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And do you want to know what that means? Do you want to know what it means? So I started to think about it. So in the Old Testament, if you read it, the Spirit of God did come down on people. Not permanently like it does now. God pours His Holy Spirit out on us. But the Spirit of the God came on people. And why did it come on people? It mainly came on people to wage war against the darkness. So get this. So if you go back, so the Spirit of the God came on people to release God's people from oppression. Examples. Joshua in the Bible, filled with the Spirit of God, led the people and guided them into the promised land to wage war against the enemies of God. Filled with the Spirit. A guy called in Judges. Judges is a dark book. But there's ever so often, there's a guy called Othniel. And the people of God were being oppressed, being killed. And it says, this is Judges 3, chapter 10, verse 10. It says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, and he went out to war. And the Lord delivered the Cushanite, Raphaimite king of Mesopotamia into his hand, and handed and prevailed over his enemies. He went and where the Spirit of God came and warred against God's enemies. Gideon was useless. He hid. There were people of Israel being oppressed by the Moabites. And he hid in a wine press or something. I don't know. He was a Muppet. He was absolutely fearful. But God filled him with his Spirit. The Spirit of God came upon him and he waged war against the Moabites with 300 men against thousands. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him and he waged war against God's enemies. Saul, full of the Holy Spirit, waged war, I think, against the Philistines. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit, led God's people. He was a deliverer. You have shadows, mini shadows of people who deliver people from oppressors, mini messiahs, all filled temporarily with God's Spirit to defeat oppressors. So what's Jesus saying? What's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. What do you think he's going to do? What do you think's in the mind of those who are listening? He is the Messiah who's going to beat these oppressors. Is that good news? Wow! That's what he's saying. Like Joshua, like Gideon, like Samson, like David in the Old Testament, but better because Satan can't beat him. And Jesus said, he's set you free. Next life, for he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Who's poor? I don't think Jesus is talking about financial poverty. We're all poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor. We're all poor. We're all stuffed, really, aren't we, without Jesus? Spiritually, we have no collateral on our own. We have no answers. We have no right for life or death or truth. We don't know what's going on. Life is like chaff. There's loads of time. Say, we're born, we die. End of. The Bible says that, yeah? We are poor. There's nothing. There's no good news. There's no good news without Jesus. But Jesus says there is good news because I am filled with God's Holy Spirit and I'm here and I am good news to the poor. That's us. That is good news, isn't it? Yeah. Yes, that is good news. Good news for us. And then he says, he has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released. Who is he talking about? I don't think there was anybody in jail in that synagogue. There wasn't, was there? We're not in jail. Yeah? But the captives will be released. The people of Israel had sinned, had turned to idols, judgment, oppression, had come, they were under Roman occupation. Had he come to set them free from Roman occupation? No. Jesus ain't talking about that. He's saying the oppression is of Satan, of sin. That's what he's saying. There will be something in your life, there's certainly something in my life probably messing it up. There'll be some form of oppression in lives. Idols, which it might be good things. But you know what? Jesus has come to set you free. And Satan loves oppressing. Do you know what? He's scared. He's scared of Jesus. Do you know, Satan wants to kill you. He wants to mess you up. Everything that's good in your life, he wants to destroy. He really does. Jesus sets the captives free. Are you under oppression from Satan? Yeah? Jesus is here to set you free. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. Same now, the Spirit of the Lord is here to set you free from whatever it is. Whatever it is. Jesus says, the Spirit of God is upon me. It became good news. Set captives free from bondage. That is good news. That is good news. You don't look so sure. Colin's sure. Then he says, get this. He says, the blind will see. The blind will see. Jesus will heal the blind people. He will literally heal blind people. And Jesus can heal blind people today. But Jesus is saying, people who have been blinded by the lies of Satan about themselves, about what God is, about who he is, about how he loves you, they will see the truth because of Jesus. Blind eyes will see. Paul had it, the apostle, scales dropped from his eyes metaphorically because he could see the truth. When I became a Christian, it was mad. It's like the world was a mess, and then I said, do you know what, I'm going to do it your way, Jesus. And the world changed. Blind eyes saw. Has anybody else had an experience like that? Is it just me? And Paul? But blind eyes. So Jesus is saying he is going to make people see the truth. The truth of the world. Is that not good news? Because the Spirit of God is upon him. The world is full of fake news. Who do you trust? Do you trust Boris Johnson? Do you trust Jeremy Hunt? Do you trust Theresa May? Who do you trust? Do you trust Facebook? Who do you trust? Who's telling you the truth? Nobody probably entirely. Jesus is here to not just tell you the truth, but to show you the truth. Because the Spirit of the Lord is on him. Is that good news? It's good news. That's what's happening. Yeah, Satan is freaking because Jesus is here and he's saying that. He's the Messiah. The oppressed will be free. Walk round Blackburn. We went to that concert last night. There was a lot of people who were oppressed. They were having a good time. But you see dead people walking if you walk round Blackpool. You do, don't you? You know what I mean? Yeah? You know they are being so oppressed by selfishness, anger, hopelessness, greed, luxury, power, drugs. Drugs. Who wanders around you, whether you're in Accrington or wherever? Drugs. Yeah? Booze. Sex. Garbage of life. These people are made in the image of God. God made them. Wonderful. They're his image. They're his people. And do you know what? Jesus came so they can be set free. Set free. Do you believe that they can be set free? Can you be? Yes. Because Jesus is the Messiah and the Spirit of the Lord is upon him and he can defeat Satan and he can set them free from oppression. Why? Because the time of the Lord's favour has come. Why? Because God's grace. Yeah, God's grace. It's interesting, Jesus didn't say the full version of that scripture from Isaiah. We sang it. Yeah, he stops there. He's saying now the time of God's grace and favour has come to these people. People who mess up their lives, who are greedy and horrible, they deserve judgment. You deserve judgment. I deserve judgment. But actually, fortunately for you, Jesus has come with grace and favour for this time. That's good, isn't it? That is good. Because he's going to come very differently the next time he's come. Because the rest of that says, because I'm coming for my enemies next time I come. And that's not necessarily people, that's the spirits of darkness. So he's going to kick them out. He's going to set the world right. Yeah? Grace. And he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, sat down. All the eyes in the synagogue were looking at him intently. I bet they were. And then he began speaking. The scripture you just heard has been filled this very day. What is Jesus' weapon of war? What is Jesus' weapon of war against Satan? Well, it's himself. The weapon of war against all this stuff, the oppressed, the hopelessness, is Jesus. It's Jesus. He is the weapon of war that is going to set his people free. Yeah, if you want to beat him, come to Jesus. That's fighting talk, isn't it? That's what he says. That's fighting talk. Yeah, and then people say, who's this guy? We love what he's saying, but he's just like the local builder. He's a bricky, is the equivalent. He's like, can you imagine if a bricky stood up and said, I'm the Messiah? It's like, so they get a little bit confused in Nazareth. Yes, legally, they say he's the son of Joseph. Yes, legally, he is the son of Joseph. But he's also the Son of God, who previously, when he was baptized, God the Father came out of heaven and the Spirit and said, I am well pleased. I am well pleased. And then I suspect in Nazareth, they said, right, well, if you are all that, do a miracle. Do a miracle. Because you probably would ask for that, wouldn't you? Yeah, but he declines, interestingly. He declines. But what, do you know, a summary, what gets them really mad in Nazareth, and it happens all the way through Scripture, Jesus basically says, or implies, I'll let you read that yourself, that actually this good news, these oppressed people, these people are in bondage, aren't just the people of Israel, they're not just under the Romans, they're everyone. He's saying he's going to go, and Naaman the Syrian was a Gentile. So that good news is for you, just the same as it is for me, not just Jewish people. And they freaked, and they got in a mob, and they forced him to the edge of a cliff. So the Messiah is not just for the Jewish people, the Messiah is for everyone. And that's what got him really mad. But that's good news, isn't it? So the Messiah is for the world, for everyone, Jew, Gentile, Muslim, Buddhist, atheist, just anybody. Not just for white people, not just for Caribbean people, it's for everyone. And that got him really, really mad. And they tried to kill him. Yeah? And then Jesus goes to Capernaum. Capernaum. Kappa means village. Nahum, one of the Old Testament prophets. The village of Nahum. That's where he went. Really interesting. And it says Jesus is speaking with authority. With authority. Do you know what? Liars can't speak with authority. People who speak untruth really struggle to speak with authority, don't they? You speak with authority when you're confident in the truth of what you say, don't you? And Jesus spoke full of the Holy Spirit as the Messiah with authority. Truth. Yeah? It was truth. Confidently, boldly. And then he goes and then he meets an evil spirit, a man possessed by an evil spirit. This is lovely. So now he said it. He said, declared war. Now he's going to wage war, is Jesus. Get this. This is what happens. And as he approaches this man, this is what you could tell, hell is freaking out. You could tell it. Listen what this evil spirit says. He said, "Go away. Go away. Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" Yes, he has. No, he hasn't. Not yet. "I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." This evil spirit in this man is freaking out because this Messiah, who's defeated Satan in the wilderness, who's declared war, he's the Messiah. If I was an evil spirit, I'd freak out as well in fairness. But he's freaking. The powers of hell are frightened by Jesus. Do you believe that? The powers of hell are frightened. And this evil spirit says, "Have you come to destroy us?" Jesus is going to cast them out. He is going to come and destroy all evil spirits. He is. But they're hanging around for the moment. Yeah, he just casts them out and move them out because they're scared of Jesus. And this evil spirit refers him, again, reinforce it, as the Holy One of Israel. This is the term that Isaiah uses repeatedly for the Messiah. So even the evil spirit knows that Jesus is the Messiah. But Jesus doesn't want to be declared the Messiah by an evil spirit. So he says, "Be quiet. Be quiet." And reprimands him. And then, so Jesus says, "Rephaim, be quiet. Come out of the man," he ordered. And at that point, the demon threw the man to the floor as the crowd watched, and it came out of him without hurting him further. Yeah, cards on the table. I don't know what it was, but I believe in a spiritual realm. There are good spirits, there are angels, and there are evil spirits. Yeah, evil spirits. There are. That's the truth of the worldview. And evil spirits or strongholds get into people's lives. You know what? The more I walk with Jesus, the more I see stuff in people's lives that are just, they've just got them. We've got them. So strongholds. And there can be evil spirits or unforgiveness. Wow. Some people who just cannot forgive, that's something that's like an evil, just twisting them, messes them up. Have you ever met somebody who just cannot forgive? Cannot forgive. That's bad. Yeah, and it ruins their life. It makes them horrible people. It does. Isn't it just really dark? Anger. People who just can't not be angry about stuff. There's something in them, and they get more angry, and they can't do anything about it, can they? They're just like, have you met people like that? That's a stronghold. Yeah, a lot of angry people today. There is a stronghold. Greed. People who are just really concerned about what other people are getting. Have you ever met people like that? I'm not happy. This person's doing so well, and I've not got this, and I've not got that. Have you met people like that? This really good thing happened to them. Greed, you know. Actually, racism, interesting. Let me say, it's not okay to be a Christian and racist. I'm going to say that. It's not okay. Yeah, but racism comes from greed because it thinks, I come from this country, therefore I'm owed something, and this person does not. Yeah, or in your opinion. Rubbish. We're all made in the glory of God. What you have is what God has given you. Nothing else. So it's not... It's not okay to be racist. I'm just going to put that out there and be a Christian. Incompatible. Greed. Lies that you believe about yourself and others. You're stupid. Not you, Marlene. Yeah? You'll never do anything. Look at that. Look at, oh, you're an awful person. You did that. You'll never, ever, anything. Who's ever believed lies about themselves? Yeah, and it takes over them. It takes. Yeah, it does. Fear. Just people who just can't do anything, can't even go out because they're too scared and what may or may not happen. Yeah, that takes over people's lives, doesn't it? Yeah. It's a stronghold and they just can't get out of it. They just can't break it. Addiction. Wow. I think addiction is spiritual. Just you can't imagine your life without drugs. You can't so I've been addicted to cigarettes and different things, but you know, you can't just comprehend your life without this. Yeah? So spirit wrecks, it's killing them. Occult. Wow. If you mess with fire, it will bite you. If you mess with a tiger, it will bite you. It'll mess up your life. Yeah? Go talk to Marlene if you want to know about that. Yeah? Unconfessed or unrepentant sin in your life. That can grow just in the way the fruits of the Spirit grow in your life if you stay close to Jesus. Unconfessed sin will grow in your life and its fruits will be bad. I'm telling you now. And it will grip you. It will grip you. I hope I've scared you. Well, no, actually, I don't hope I've scared you. But these are things that's still there today. But do you know what? The Spirit of the Lord is upon Jesus and they are scared of Jesus. And Jesus has the power to break the oppression, break the chains, and he doesn't even have to say anything. He just says, go away, and they leave. Do you believe that Jesus is the same today as he was ever? Yes. Yes, he is. If you have the spirit of fear, ask Jesus to get rid of him. I have a feeling it is that simple. I don't know, I'm sure there's loads of theology. Yeah. But that's good news, isn't it? It is good news. So Jesus kicks off Big Sal and this evil spirit flees, yeah, and runs away. Yeah, he's on the attack. He's on the attack and he can do the same today. And then after that, he says he goes and he leaves the synagogue that day, and Jesus went to after casting the demon out, home, where he found Simon's mother-in-law very sick with a high fever. Please heal her, everyone begged. Standing at her bedside, he rebuked the fever and it left her, and she got up at once and prepared a meal for them. And as the sun went down that evening, people throughout the village brought sick family members to Jesus. No matter what their disease were, the touch of his hand healed everyone. Wow. Many were possessed by demons, and demons came out at the command, shouting, "You are the Son of God." Because they knew he was the Messiah, he rebuked them and refused to let them speak. Yeah, I know it's a bit freaky, but this is just in the Bible, and I believe it. Yeah, it's there. Yeah. Jesus had the authority over sickness. He said, "Get out." And it left. And we could have a long theology lesson about it, about why God sometimes heals, sometimes doesn't heal, and come talk to me after. But actually, Jesus has the authority over sickness. Why does Jesus demonstrate his authority over sickness? Because he is the Messiah. It says he's doing it because he is the Messiah. And the world is broken, it's fallen, and sickness and disease are part of the fall, part of the mess that Satan made of our world. Yeah? But do you know what? Jesus is telling us that he has the authority to fix it. In the now and not yet, there's going to be no more disease, no more suffering, no more pain in the new heavens and new earth when Jesus comes in authority. But actually, he also demonstrates that he has the authority over it now, and Jesus. And we're filled with the Spirit, and we have authority over sickness and disease now. It's a bit freaky, isn't it? Why? For his glory. It's not about the healing. It's about pointing to Jesus and declaring that he is the Messiah. He is the one who is... He wins. That's good news, isn't it? That is good news. That's a lot of good news. So, the after bit, Jesus goes preaching this good news. So telling people about he is the Messiah. Yeah, he is the Holy One of Israel, the one who is going to redeem all this stuff, the oppressors. And he's not even got started, he's not even gone to the cross yet. He's not even got started. Yeah, wow. Yeah. Jesus is the Messiah of all mankind. Yeah, just like Joshua took his people, just like Gideon, just like all these guys who threw out oppressors, God's people. Jesus is like that, but massively better, massively greater. Yeah? That's why he's the Redeemer. And he preached this good news, and he sets captives free. Is something messing you up? Is there something you just cannot shift in your life? Like anger, lying, hopelessness, fear. Jesus can set you free. He has the power and authority to do it. He is the truth. As always, the truth cannot change. It either is true or it's not. And there can only be one truth. Yeah, there aren't lots of. There isn't like Omid's truth and then my truth or garbage. Truth has to be truth. It has to be one truth. Yeah, and Jesus is the truth. And he tells people the truth to set their blind eyes that they can see. If you want to know what the world is about, listen to Jesus. Read his word. And he does it. Because of graciousness and goodness and the favour of God. And the good news is that Jesus just didn't come back to make things a little bit better. He came back and he's here and he's the Messiah to make things new. So it don't matter how messed up you are, he can make you new. Yeah? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you've taken drugs for 20 years or you've been angry all your life or whatever. He's the Messiah. He gives you the power of the Holy Spirit. He's taken the punishment. He's done it. He's dealt with it. He's the Messiah. The good news is Jesus. And just like he smashed Satan in the desert, the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. If we're in him, to smash Satan today. Do you believe that? And he's called to wage a war on hell. That doesn't mean waging war on people. That means doing what Jesus did, telling the truth, living lives that glorify God, asking strongholds to leave in your life. In the presence of Jesus, Satan has no authority. The demons really do flee. He speaks truth with authority. Why? Because he's God, but he's speaking the truth. When we ask Jesus for people to be healed, he listens, and Jesus has the authority to do that. It's the same today, yesterday, but the same in the future. Do you believe that? That is good news. That's a whole bucket of good news, that, isn't it? Yeah? Jesus is the Messiah. It don't matter where you are. That's it, isn't it? That was good. I enjoyed that one. Pete, you missed out, lad. Honestly, well good. Yeah?